Hallelujah. Let's just praise him for a few moments and ask his favor upon this service. Lord, we love you. We are thankful for the promise of your presence. Hallelujah. To touch our lives, God, to touch our minds, to touch our hearts. I pray, Lord, that we surrender ourselves to your will, that we know that we have come, amen, into the house of the Lord. And I'm glad that they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, because we knew that there would be ministry of healing and, hallelujah, Lord, touching our lives, amending the problems, Lord, that we're facing. We're asking in your lovely name, Lord, that you move in this service this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. You know us by name. You notice by need. Hallelujah. Lord, you notice by our hunger, God. I pray that you make us a hungry people. Amen. For your presence and for your word. Amen. God, that the truth of your presence and your church would find its way out of this building and into the streets of this town that we live in. Hallelujah. So we're here to worship you. We're here to magnify your name. Amen. God, to give you all the praise in Jesus' name. One more time, let's lift our voice in a strong manner. Hallelujah. God, we know that you are able. God, we know that you are wanting. Hallelujah. Lord, we know that you have a favor for those that are willing and obedient. Hallelujah. They come into your presence, God, because they find you and what you can do in their lives in Jesus' name. So bless us this morning, and we give you all the glory. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord.
Testifying as we're seeing them. And this is a moment of time of prayer. But there's something that I was reading yesterday, and I had to share it with you. And I need to just, it's God heard the cries of his people, and he delivered his people, but it was the emotional baggage that they carried that caused them to limit God in their minds. God heard our cries, and he delivered us. But there's times when we carry stuff with us that we don't need to carry. And it's God's desire for us to leave them here and to just release them. That is for our benefit, because God wants us not to carry these burdens that we carry. But God wants to do so much more. And sometimes we limit God in our minds. But God is saying right now, if you would just take whatever baggage you may have, if it's an emotional baggage, if it's something that's been weighing you down, and it doesn't have to be emotional, maybe it's just something that is causing a weight that you've been carrying for too long. God wants you to bring it before him today, right now at this moment. And he wants to release something greater. He wants you to take the limits off your mind. And he wants to just manifest himself in a greater way, in a greater capacity. And he's been here ever since we got here. And he's been here. And he's saying right now, if you will do this, I will release more of myself to you in this place here today. So let's take a moment. We're going to pray. Lord, if you have any kind of weight that you're carrying, I encourage you right now to bring it before him in Jesus' name.
Blood flow red and make me white. In prayer. We're victorious in just walking with God, just bringing our needs to Him every day, just committing that I'm going to be walking with God. I'm going to be victorious by bringing my needs every day. I may not have an answer today, but tomorrow I'm bringing my need before God. On Tuesday, I'm walking with Him. I'm bringing my need because that's how I'll get victory. That's how I'm going to succeed, bringing my need before God. Thank you, Jesus.
No shame
There's no spiritual attack. There's nothing, nothing that could separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. There's no any baggage of sin that you brought into this place. Nothing can separate you. I spoke in the first class this morning, but I just talked, and as I close, and I feel that in this place today to remind you that if you come into this place and say, yeah, but you don't know my sin, but you don't know my shortcoming, but you don't know what I struggle with, and God could never love me. God could never forgive me. I've spent 50 years doing wrong. I've spent 60 years doing wrong. He could never forgive me. What you are doing is saying that your sin is bigger than our God's. Your sin is bigger than his sacrifice on the cross. He died on the cross to cover every sin, every shame, every inadequacy. That's what he did. There's no sin too strong. You're not too dirty. You're not too ugly. You're not too broken. You're not too whatever you can say you are. God has got something for you in this place today. It's up to you. It solely rests on your shoulders whether you're going to receive it or not. We can pray. We can put our hands on you. We can encourage. We can do everything. But at the end of the day, are you going to receive the grace that God has for you? It's up to you. Amen. 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 One more time. Let's just lift up our hands and let's thank God for what we feel. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for your presence. We thank you, Jesus, for your grace. We thank you, Jesus, for what you started in this service. I pray you would continue. God, you would envelop this place with your presence. God, you would settle here. God, you'd rest here. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I love what I feel in this place. Continue today. We're going to continue, but continue to reach. If you have something, don't wait until the altar call. It's appropriate for you to come to the altar during offering, during prayer, during singing, whatever you need. This place is for you. This altar is for you. There's no judgment. There's no shame. Come boldly before the throne of grace. A few announcements for the week. There will be prayer tonight at 6 p.m. This Wednesday we'll have worship in the Word at 7 p.m. All the ladies say February 8th. Hopefully no men said that, but February 8th, Josh, I'm sorry, you're not invited to this. There will be a ladies' connection at Sister Connie's house. It'll be from 11 to 1, correct? 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And what this is not a Bible study, this is not a lunch, this is just a ladies' connection. There'll be food there, but it's not coming with the intention of doing anything other than connecting together. This is a really good opportunity for you to invite that person that you want to see connected to this church. This is a low pressure, low risk, low stress environment. It's Sister Connie's home. It's a loving home. So you are all ladies invited to this. There is going to be a brief meeting immediately following service just over here in this corner with Sister Connie to go over that. But that'll be February 8th, and we want you to be a part of that. Now, everybody say March 7th. Thank you, Josh. You can participate in this one. March 7th, which is a Saturday at 5 o'clock, FAC will be having an installation service for my wife and I to be officially installed as pastor. So if you want to get rid of us, you have a little over a month to figure out some way. But after that, I mean, we're here. You're stuck with us. But we do want you all to be a part of that. It is just going to be a time. I don't even know what it's going to be. I'm excited, but I don't know what it's going to entail. But we want you to be a part of it because we are not here without you. And we don't want to be here without you. And it is not a building that we are being installed in. I believe it's a church family that we are being installed in. We already feel that, but it is the appropriate thing to do in a service and a ceremony. So we would love if you were a part of that service on Saturday, March 7th. So we are going to do something a little different. I know you guys are probably like, he keeps making changes to our service structure. We're going to try something. I know that typically you're all aware we take offering now And during offering, we shake hands and we have meet and greet. We are going to do that. We're just going to put a pause button on the offering. So we're going to get out and still connect and be friendly, but then we're going to take up offering. And I'm going to tell you why, so you're not thinking that I'm making change for change's sake. A lot of times, if you aren't aware, ushers come, we take up offering, they begin to sing and try and worship, and all of us are, oh man, you look good today. And they're up there, especially if it's a soloist, they're trying to do everything they can to usher in the presence of God, and we are being friendly and connecting and fellowshipping, which is a good thing. We want to do that, but we want to make sure that we have worship and fellowship, not worship shellowship, you know, at the same time. So we're just going to try it. It may not work. We may accidentally, once we do offering, just naturally start to walk around and talk. If that happens, we'll have two times of meet and greet. But just for today, let's see. Just get out in the aisle. Do what you would normally do. Pretend like you just gave your offering. And let's spend just a couple of moments in meet and greet, and then we'll continue on with our service. Experiencing a birthday tomorrow. Don't see this young. Oh, Josh. Josh is turning 20 tomorrow, so he is no longer a teenager. Man. So if he looks different next time you see him, it's because now he's 20. He's not a kid anymore. Enjoy all the responsibilities of adulthood. Also, I failed to mention this earlier, but I do want to say a special thank you for those of you that drove onto the church property. You got out of your car. You didn't step in snow. You made it up the stairs. You didn't slip and fall due to the weather. You owe all of that because Mason got up yesterday morning and came here by himself and cleaned off the entire church property. So I want to say thank you to Mason. Just if you shoveled your driveway yesterday, you know how heavy and wet and gross that was. So very thankful that he was able to do that. So we're gonna put our declaration on the screen. And so say this together. As we do this, I feel you start to notice things a little bit more. My wife and I, a lot of you know, and it's been openly joked about, we enjoy Taco Bell on Wednesday nights after church. It's one of those stereotypes that there's a reason behind the stereotype. We do enjoy it. So we received a couple of Taco Bell gift cards for Christmas. We went to put one of those to good use Wednesday night after church. And as we got up to the counter, the guy was trying to run it. The manager came over, and then she came to me and said, "Sir, I apologize. We've had internet issues all day. We're not able to do gift cards. We tried another way. It doesn't work. Here, just take this gift card back. We'll just give you the food for free." And you could easily just say, "Well, that's just fortunately," but we chose to say gifts and surprises. And I believe that God is faithful in the really, really big things, but he's also faithful in the really, really small things. And I want to recognize when God blesses me, when God takes care of his children, which he always does. So let's say this together. Upon the authority of your word, I have given, and it shall be given unto me. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I am a tither, and I bring my offerings to the house of the Lord. I bring them today into the storehouse. Therefore, the enemy is rebuked, the curse is broken, and I live under an open heaven. We receive jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, sales and commissions, benefits and settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and incomes, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, bills paid off, debts demolished, and royalties received. I and my whole family am blessed and walking in the favor of God. I have health and abundance, and I am blessed coming in and going out in Jesus' name. Amen. And give unto the Lord this morning.
Thank you.
what David said in Psalms 20, verse 7 and 8. To some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. He's saying some will trust in possessions. Some will trust in things. Some will trust in abilities. But he will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it, and they are safe. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus is on your side. Jesus is fighting for you. The name of God is on for your behalf. If you're still in a battle, if you're still fighting something, hold on to the name of Jesus. Don't let go of the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is the only thing that will protect you. If you're still praying for those lost loved ones, if you still have a lost loved one's name in the jar, hold on to the name of Jesus. In fact, we're going to take them before the name of Jesus right now. Why don't we just lift up our hand and let's lift up a prayer for our lost loved ones, for our prodigals. God, I pray for these names. God, we call upon the name of Jesus, God, to visit them. God, I won't trust in my abilities. I won't trust in my giftings. I won't trust in what I can do, what I have. I trust in the name of the Lord our God. I trust in you. God, I hold on to you. God, I cling to you right now. Reach to these names. Reach to these people. Touch them. God, we call upon you to do the work right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. If I could turn your attention to the book of Joshua, chapter 6. A story we know very well. A story that we've heard since Sunday school. But I'm going to talk just about Joshua and the children of Israel and Jericho. Joshua chapter 6 verse 1 says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Somebody say it was fortified. None went out, none came in. The Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. That's the scripture for today. I just want to read or speak to us for a few moments. Your victory comes from your walk. Your victory comes from your walk. Why don't we just put our Bibles down? Let's ask God to seal what he's already done in this place today. In the name of Jesus, God, we need you to touch. God, we need you to work. God, we need you to flow in this place. We need you to do something in the supernatural today. God, we thank you for what we felt today. But God, we need more of it. We require more. We can't go on without you. Help us today. In Jesus' name, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You may be seated today. Before I get started going on a walk today, I got to get prepared. If you do any walk, and some of you ladies today came in high heels. Well, maybe not. It's snowy and cold. Maybe you came in boots. But you still, I doubt few of us came in our walking tennis shoes. Maybe you did. Good for you. You're more comfortable than the rest of us. But if you're going to go on a walk, if you're going to go on a journey, you need to be prepared. You need to put on your walking shoes. You need to get comfortable with the walk that you're getting ready to do. And I think, going to do a lot of walking today. The scripture that we read, Joshua 6:1, says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out. None came in. It was fortified. It was impenetrable. It was a wall to end all walls. It was a massive wall that the children of Israel could do nothing about. The Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. The Lord says, look at this fortified city. Look at this city that you can't attack. Look at this city that is too strong for you. Look at this city that you could shoot every arrow. You could take your sword and scratch it up against the wall. You could do everything you would be able to do. And just look at this. Take a look at this city. And he says, see that city? I've given it into your hand. I've given this fortified, impenetrable city directly into your hand. Man sees a situation that is desperate, that is overwhelming, that is impossible, and that there's no way that they could see a victory through. The Israelites see strength. They see fortitude. But God sees a future where the walls are destroyed. God sees a future where the children of Israel are ransacking. They're destroying the enemy. They're not leaving a single one save Rahab and her family alive. God sees ahead of time. God sees the ending of your situation, of your trial, of your sickness before you even know it's there. God's got an answer for 2026 if the Lord tarries for you that you don't even see coming. He's already got a plan that is perfect. You're going to hit a road bump in 2025 that you think is going to knock you off your feet, but God already has a way out in 2026. He already knows exactly what he's going to do. I'm very aware that there are people in here who are facing a very real Jericho. They're facing an impenetrable situation. They have been brought through the wilderness only to arrive at a place that looks worse than the wilderness. At least in the wilderness, they weren't being taunted. At least in the wilderness, they didn't have to worry about being attacked. They were safe in some way. But here, now, there's a real thing that they have to deal with. There's real sickness in our lives. There's real brokenness in your family. There's real situations. If it were up to us looking at some of these situations, we'd probably say, game over. We'd say, that's how it's going to be. That it is what it is. That's now my life. I now always have to have this because science says I do, or my finances say I do, or my relationship, that piece of paper says I do. And we look at all of these things and say we lost. But God looks at the exact same situation. He looks at the exact same obstacles. He looks at the exact same thing that you've been facing for years. And he says, see, I have given you victory. I have a victory for you. You can't see it yet, but I have a victory for you. I know that you don't understand it yet, but I got victory for you. God has a victory planned for you. How would we have responded if we were the children of Israel and we're staring down the walls of Jericho? What would we have done? Would we have thought God's lost our mind? Or God's lost his mind? There's no way. God, we've lost our mind. We can't pull that down. We can't achieve a victory. I mean, imagine, we know, if you've heard the story before, we know the ending. We know that they walked around 6 days, and then on the seventh, walked around one time 6 days. The seventh day, they walked around seven times. And on the seventh day, they blew their trumpets, they shouted, the walls came tumbling down. It sounds really quick. I just gave you the full story. I just gave you a week's worth of data in just 30 seconds. That's what happened. And so we say, yep, he fought the Battle of Jericho. The walls came tumbling down, if you know the children's song. But imagine, put yourself in that situation. You wandered for 40 years. Now you finally get into the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the land that was made for you. And the very first battle you have to face is one that you cannot win. You're trying to face a city with walls that you cannot tear down. You've been in the wilderness. You've seen Aaron and Moses passed away. You've walked in circles for 40 years. All you've done is walk in the wilderness. And God's brilliant military strategy is to walk 7 more days. Not create a catapult, not build ladders. That makes sense, right? That fits for how you would win in battle. But God says, don't do that. God says, just walk. But God, I've been 40 years in the wilderness, and God says, yeah, walk 7 more days. Just 7 more days. Nothing about what they did made any sense. I mean, there's no science behind walking. There's no proper cadence. They couldn't have done left, left, right, or right, left, right, or on the third hop, or on the third step, they bounce. There's nothing that over 7 days of walking would have shored up or torn down the foundations of that wall so it would have collapsed. Nothing they could have done. No, there's no science behind it. And what we have to understand is that God didn't need Joshua and the Israelites to walk for 7 days. There's no formula. Nowhere else did God require a miracle, and so he sent them on a 7-day walk. Nowhere else. It wasn't a part of how it actually came down, because it wasn't the walk itself. It was what the walk represented. Once God saw that they were willing to be obedient, they were willing to be faithful, willing to trust him, willing to do the unthinkable and just walk, he responded. There's not a lot of recognition from a walk. You know, walk is pretty mundane. You know, you see some sights, you see a few things, but no one is. People post about the runs that they did on Facebook. I ran 12 miles in 6-minute mile, and I did this in 40% elevation. No one's saying I took a casual walk around the park. You know, they're not posting that so people can say, wow, you're so good at walking. No, it's not something that people, you don't really get recognition for. When some big minister preaches a conference in the Philippines and 8,000 people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and there's miracles and we celebrate all of that. But when we get up on a Thursday morning and spend time in prayer, you don't post that on Facebook. There's no excitement about a walk. It's pretty mundane when you just walk. It's pretty basic when you walk. But for the Israelites, the only reason they received victory is because they walked with God. The only reason that when they came to a place and they shouted, if they would have heard the plan was to shout at the end, if we would have heard that, probably a lot of us would have been like, well, why don't we just shout now? I got an idea. Save a week's worth of time. I don't have to wear out my heels. I'll just shout now and tear the walls down. So if they would have gotten in position and shouted, nothing would have happened. The victory doesn't come from a shout. Victory comes from a walk. Your walk will lead you to victory. The only way, the only reason you're going to have victory is because you walk with God. You spend time walking with God. We celebrate those 8,000 people. We get excited when something big happens. And we want, God, send that in my church. I want to see miracles. I want to see signs. I want to see not an empty seat in this place. I want all of that. Show us the big thing. But what we're not seeing is that there was a walk that led to those things. There was a walk. There was just mundane Tuesday morning, nobody watching, getting up at your house, finding a place to pray, and spending time walking with God. We get excited, and we've been praying. We've been believing. We are praying and believing that we are going to see a day when someone comes into this place, their name's been in this jar. They're going to come in on a Wednesday night, on a Sunday night. They're going to pull their name out. They're going to be in this altar. They're going to be refilled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. We're going to be excited. We're going to rejoice. We're going to celebrate. That isn't going to happen without a walk. We don't just get that. I would love if we just got to shout and every victory was won. That would be great. But that's not how God designed it. God designed us to walk, to spend time with him, to find that secret place that nobody knows about, that only you and he has, just walking with Him. The outcome, we get focused upon the outcome. The outcome is not our responsibility. The Israelites, there's no way they could tear that wall down. That outcome was not on them. You seeing your loved one be refilled with the Holy Ghost, that outcome is not on you. God has not said, you better say the right things, pray the right prayers, do the right things, then I will fill them with the Holy Ghost. That's not what God said. God said, walk with me. I'll take care of the outcome. I'll take care of the salvation. I'll take care of the healing. All I'm asking you to do is walk. I'll take care of the victory. All I'm asking you to do is walk. I don't understand. I don't know why some of you have faced a wilderness for 40 years. I do believe that I know some stories in here and some people that aren't here today that they've shared with us, shared with my wife and I, stories of just hardships. Brother Billy, for years dealing with sickness. Just why do we have to go through the wilderness? I don't have an answer for you. I don't know what your wilderness is and what the reason is, and now you find yourself today and God's telling you, yeah, but just walk a little further. But you're like, but I just want out of the wilderness, God. And He's saying, you'll get out of the wilderness if you'd walk just a little further. How bad would it have been if they walked 40 years? They made it to the precipice of their victory. They made it right there, 40 years. It's 14,600 days of walking. 14,600 days of walking. And they made it, and God said, yeah, 7 more days. And they said, I can't. I'm just too tired. I just can't go any further. I'm so worn out. But some of you have walked for years. You fought this for years. And God's saying, I know you have, but just a little further. Heaven forbid we die out when we're right there at the finish line. You don't know what next step you're just going to cross over into your victory. I don't know if it's coming this step or this step or this step, but I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to keep walking until I get my victory. It might be 7 more days of you walking. It might be 70 more days for you walking. But you keep walking. You keep praying. You keep coming to church. You keep praising God when you don't feel like it. You keep glorifying Him. Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking, and God will give you a victory. Don't get discouraged. Don't be downtrodden. I know that walking isn't fun. You'd rather someone speaks in tongues and we get a tongues and interpretation, or someone places their hand on you and you get a miracle. And that would be cool if that happened. We would celebrate it. But a lot of times it doesn't happen. But on just a Thursday, on a Saturday, God comes and visits you and He speaks in the quiet. That still, small voice. He just says, I'm here. Keep walking with me. Keep walking with me. Keep walking with me. I listen, my wife and I heard a song, and there was a prelude before a song, and it was just a cool little thought, and it was talking about why did God speak in the whisper? Why not in the hurricane, or why not in the fire, why not in the earthquake? Why was it a whisper? And this guy on the song just said he spoke in a whisper because he was that close. He could speak in a whisper. He didn't have to yell. He didn't have to shout. Because when you walk with God, God walks with you. You're walking with Him. It's not a walk on your own. You're not on some journey by yourself. Walking with God keeps Him next to you, keeps Him walking with you. And the Lord requires that we walk with Him. Micah 6:8 says, He has showed thee, O man, what is good. What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. Walk with God. He's not asking you to heal the sick. He's not asking you to raise the dead. He doesn't need you to perform a miracle. You need a miracle in your life. He doesn't need you to perform it. Just walk humbly with Him. Colossians says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. If you've received the Lord, walk with Him. If you've experienced the gift of salvation, walk with Him. If you've yet to experience that, today is a really good day to repent of your sins, to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and to be baptized in Jesus' name. Why wait? Why wait with what God has to offer you? Salvation, eternal salvation. 1 John 2, 1 through 6 says, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." I reference this scripture, and I reference Jesus going to the cross for us in the first service. We referenced it during that song we were singing. There's nothing too dirty. There's nothing. He has gone to the cross. Put up verse 2 again. Verse 2 says, he is the propitiation for our sins. He is the scapegoat. He is the lamb. He is the thing for our sins. Not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Every sin that you've ever committed, every sin that has ever been committed, he went to the cross for. He is offering salvation for you in this place. But he's telling us in verse 6, if you say you abide in him, you ought also to walk in him. God wants us to walk. I mean, he desires us to walk. Any relationship, if I just walk with my wife, just hand in hand, you know what this does for my wife? Right now it embarrasses her and drives her insane. But if we're at the mall, if we're at Target, if we're at the grocery store, and I just grab her hand and just walk with her, I would never have to buy her flowers ever again. I mean, I will. But it means something to her. It means something to me when she wants to walk with me. We are in a relationship together. If it means that much to her, and if it means that much to me, how much more does it mean to God? That you willingly choose to get out of bed every morning, to find a place to pray, to just connect with him, to spend time with him. On your way to work, you just say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for I have a job. I have a car. I have a family. I have a home." Just thank you, Jesus. Just walk with Jesus. Just walk with him. That's all he requires. Just to walk. And the walk will always lead to victory. It always leads to victory. I wish I had put on a pedometer today to know how many steps I walked. But it always comes, the victory always comes from a walk. Death has no power. The enemy has no power over your walk. He cannot stop your walk. He cannot put up barriers. He can't blockade you. He can't do anything to stop you from walking with God. I mean, I personally, and you don't have to do this, and I'm not trying to reveal anything, but I find whenever I spend time in the morning praying, I always start on my knees, and I find after a couple of minutes, my brain, because I'm distracted, I'll be somewhere else, not even praying, thinking about the day, thinking about tomorrow, thinking about last night, and it just, I struggle. You'll see during prayer at night or on Sunday nights or here, I struggle just kneeling because I can't control my own mind. Help me, Lord. So I find myself, even at the house, just pacing, just walking, just spending time with God. And even my favorite is just to, I mean, I don't dance and do backflips, but just glorifying God, just walking with God. It's a personal thing. It's you and God, but God sees you walking with him, and he loves it. He visits me whenever I'm walking with God. He'll visit you. He'll give you strength for that day. He'll give you mercy for that day. He'll restore you for that day. God's got grace and mercy for every day, but you have to take advantage of it. You have to walk for him. You have to walk with him. You have to be steadfast. 1 Corinthians 15, passage we know well. It says, when this corruptible, So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Christ Jesus. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We have victory, but he calls us to be steadfast. A walk is steadfast. You don't hopefully run out of breath on a walk. On a jog, on a run, you will get tired. But we can walk until our feet fall off, most of us. You just keep walking. Just be steadfast in this. That regardless of how I feel, regardless of if I feel like it, if I want to walk with God, I am going to walk with God. Keep coming to church. Keep praying. Keep fighting. Keep the faith. Keep going. Keep going. Let's stand as we close. Kathleen Kenyon was born January 5th, 1906. She grew up and she started to become interested in archaeology. She attended Oxford University's School of Archaeology, graduating in 1929. She became a leading British archaeologist of Neolithic culture and the Fertile Crescent. Eventually became one of the most influential archaeologists of the 20th century. But it wasn't until 1952 that she really started to focus on the Fertile Crescent and came across something very particular. She started to unearth the remains of a civilization that used to inhabit that area some thousands of years ago. As she excavated, she started to realize that this was, at one time, a very fortified city. And she continued, and she made the discovery that this was, in fact, the Old Testament city of Jericho. She studied and carbon dated what she found and realized that there actually was a wall that surrounded the city. And by her research, the height and breadth of the city walls matched up with what the book of Joshua accounts for. There really was a place. But when she did the research about how the city walls would have come down, she declared that there was no attack on these walls. She noted that for that time period, if walls were to fall down, they would be pulled down. And there would be markings and indications of that because it would require hooks and strength. And they would have tossed and pulled and scraped the stone. But she could not find any scrapings. She could not find any tear marks on the stone. And she concluded that at that time, a very substantial earthquake must have struck right around that very area, in spite of the fact that where that city of Jericho was located, an earthquake would be highly unlikely. There's no major fault lines anywhere around that area. So for an earthquake of that magnitude to have destroyed those walls, she concluded that it was extremely unlikely, but just an anomaly that earthquake destroyed those walls. She didn't understand how the earthquake could have happened, but that was the only explanation in her mind. What her excavation couldn't show her, that there was a people that was obedient to what God had told them to do, and they listened to the voice of God, and they walked. What she couldn't figure out, what she couldn't understand, is that when people are obedient to what God is telling them to do, anything is possible. He isn't reliant upon a fault line to create a miracle. He isn't waiting for you to position yourself in just the right way so for some coincidence to happen and you to get an answer to your prayer. That isn't how God operates. When his people obey the call and walk with him. He does the impossible. The earthquake doesn't come without a walk. The earthquake doesn't come without faithfulness. Your miracle will never come without a walk. Their shout didn't bring down a walk, or didn't bring down the wall. It takes more than just showing up one time and shouting for you to get victory. I believe God can give victory and God does give victory, but it's more than just a one-time thing. If I got up here today and I shouted for 30 minutes, I shouted, you guys would just roll your eyes at me, but I would, by about minute 27, I'm sure I wouldn't have much left. I'd try and talk tomorrow and I would have nothing but a whisper left. I wouldn't have anything left. A shout would just completely tax my body. But I got up here and I walked today. And I know tomorrow I will have the strength to walk tomorrow. I know the next day I'll have the strength to walk, because God isn't reliant upon a shout for your victory. He's reliant upon a walk. As we close, I'm asking, can we just all bow our heads right where we're at? I know that most of you in here have been walking all the days of your life. I know most of you in here are saying, yeah, I get it. I know. I've been through more than you can imagine. But I know. But I'm here to remind somebody in this place, if you do not have a walk with God, today is the best day to start. Don't wait until tomorrow. Don't wait until you got everything figured out. Don't wait until you're perfect. God doesn't need a perfect person to walk with Him. He needs you to walk with Him. Right where you're at, won't you just lift up your hand and let's begin to ask God to sweep in this place. Come on, make a commitment right where you're at to walk with God, to spend some time every day, to get closer to Him every day. I'm not saying you quit your job and you just spend all day in prayer, but if you've never gotten up before, if you've never woken up early to spend time in prayer with God, do it tomorrow. Start your week with time with God. Start your week praying with God. God, we need you right now. God, we need you to walk with us. Jesus, I know you're desiring more so than what we can imagine to walk with us. God, open up our eyes. Help us to see you. Help us to see that you're so close you could whisper. God, you're as close as the mention of your name. And so as we say Jesus this morning, I pray, God, that you would come up along beside us. God, you would wrap your arm around us and remind us that you are here. Remind us that you've always been here, that you always will be here. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If anybody today would like to renew their walk with God, I am opening up an altar. I'm asking you to walk, to take a step, to find a place, to come and renew your commitment to walking with God. It doesn't have to be something that we all look at, we all put you on display, but just come today and find a place and say, God, I'm walking with you today. God, I'm renewed in my walk today. God, I am making a new commitment to spending time with you. God, I know that there is a victory. God, I've been in the wilderness. Come on, I'm praying that someone that's been in a wilderness, God is telling you, walk just a little further. If you will still walk with me, I will provide a way out. I got a victory in your walk. Your victory will come through your walk. It may not be a big dramatic moment. There may not be a shaking of an earthquake. But God has got a victory if you will walk with Him right now. Come on, continue to pray. Come on, continue to call upon Him. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, walk with us. Walk with us right now, God. I pray. Help us, Jesus, to feel your touch. God, there's people in a wilderness right now, and they need to know that you are for them. We know that you are walking with them. God, walk here, Jesus. Walk with us in the name of Jesus. I'm here. God, I got my walking shoes on. God, I'm going. God, I'm going forward. I'm moving ahead. God, it may be a slow walk right now. I'm carrying a lot of weight, but I'm going to take a step. It might be an inch, but I'm taking a step, God. I'm moving forward.
Thank you.
you this week, if you don't have a walk with the Lord, if you don't spend any time reading His Word, just do something. If you've started something, don't just settle, but just get a relationship with God. Just get a walk with God. There is no negative. There's no downside. We fill our lives with everything else, with entertainment, with work, with family, with food, with phones, with everything else. And yet we come to church and we say, won't heaven be awesome? I can't wait to spend time with God. Some of you are going to be disappointed because it's only going to be God there. There won't be the entertainment. There won't be the phones. There won't be, you'll be like, well, this is nothing like my life. I mean, why not start practicing what eternity is going to be like and spend some time with Jesus every day? Amen, amen. Shake someone's hand, hug someone's neck. Tell them you love them with the love of the Lord. Make sure you greet Ray and Kim. So good to have you guys again here today with us. God bless today. Amen. Ladies.